Any questions before we begin this last class in presenting the path? Questions on the meditation on bodhicitta? Was everyone able to work with that a little bit over the last week? No one saying anything. 2 weeks, actually, I think we had. Because we had Labor Day as well in there. So let's just do a real quick review. What I'd like to do, actually, to review it, is to give you the way of incorporating both of those methods into a single method. They call this the 11-step method of generating bodhicitta, where you kind of bring the sevenfold cause and effect in mostly at the beginning, and then you go into the meditations on equalizing and exchanging self and others, and then you come to the same conclusions. There's not really a whole lot of difference in regard to that. But so it starts with, and when it's laid out in this way, actually the very first step that's set out is developing equanimity. So while that's usually considered to be a preliminary to the sevenfold cause and effect, or equalizing and exchanging self and others, the step of equanimity is actually the first step when we put it into the 11 steps. So first, we generate equanimity for all beings. Secondly, seeing them all as our mother, which again is part of our sevenfold cause and effect. This is a meditation that's mostly based on trying to develop a feeling of closeness to sentient beings and remembering their kindness, so that we can then generate this mind of bodhicitta. So we start with seeing beings as our mothers, or again as someone very dear to us if a mother figure is problematic for you in this lifetime. The third one, recalling the kindness that they showed us when they were in that position of being very dear to us. The fourth step is where we wish to repay that kindness. So then we sort of leave the sevenfold cause and effect and go to the equalizing and exchanging self and others. So we begin with the fifth step will be the first step of equalizing and exchanging self and others, which is equalizing oneself with all sentient beings. So although we did an equanimity meditation in the first step, in this step where we're equalizing self and others, what's the main meditation we're doing? What's the main thought that we're having to equalize ourself and others? So in the equanimity, we're seeing all sentient beings, enemies, friends, and strangers, and realizing that this is a very subjective category we're putting them in, and very transitory, and they will change and move from these categories and have over time. So we kind of get rid of our feeling of attachment for friends and aversion towards enemies and so on. When we get to equalizing and exchanging self and others, it's more about acknowledging that all sentient beings, although here we were seeing them all as equal in this huge sea of sentient beings, now we're trying to see them as equal to us in terms of the desire for happiness and the wish to be free from suffering. So this is the main thing we contemplate at this point. There's a much more extended meditation that we'll get into when we get to module 10, I think it is, on bodhicitta, and we'll go into the real detailed steps of meditating on equalizing self and others. But the primary thing is to think of others as being just like you. Because right now we have this, you know, ourselves up here and everyone else is our subjects. You know, you're all about how you can make me happy. And, you know, if you start causing me suffering, then I don't even want to see you. You know, get out of my field of vision. Here we're looking at it from the standpoint of they're exactly like me. Everyone is exactly like me. There's no difference between Hannah's wanting happiness and Ree's wanting happiness and my wanting happiness. Every single sentient being, a butterfly, a worm, you know, a moose, whoever, you know, wherever you find sentient beings, they're driven by that same fundamental wish for happiness and to avoid suffering. So that's the fifth step in this 11-step combined. Then we go on to the same next two steps that we saw in equalizing and exchanging self and others, which were actually, I think some of you may not have this meditation. I'm sitting here talking about it, but I've got extra copies somewhere, I think. Maybe we don't. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know what happened to all the meditation copies of that. Anyway, I'll see if there's some during the break. So the sixth and seventh steps are where we look at the disadvantages of continuing to cherish ourselves over others. So this is the primary thing we're working on in equalizing and exchanging self and others. Whereas in the sevenfold cause and effect, it's all about developing closeness to sentient beings and a strong feeling of affection towards them and so on. Here, it's all about addressing the problematic mind that we have of our self-centeredness, looking at ourselves as being most important, my happiness being the most important thing. So we look at the disadvantages of self-cherishing, being self-centered, and we look at the advantages of cherishing others. So then we actually go on to generate a compassion and love towards others in the next two steps. So whereas in the meditation that you have, Tonglen, this process of taking and giving, is a single step with two small parts. We make them into individual steps here. So steps 8 and 9 are about taking the suffering of others, doing this Tonglen exercise meditation where you visualize removing the suffering of another. And again, we can start with ourselves. It's quite effective to start with ourselves because we already have to experience our suffering. But to think about ourselves developing a sort of independent, objective wish to remove that suffering, to take that away, and eventually we can generate that towards others, towards friends, towards, you know, strangers, and eventually even towards our worst enemies. Then we, in the next step, do the giving, where we actually, you know, transform our own happiness, all of our merit, everything that we have, into exactly what others need. Having that strong love for others that wants them to have happiness, that cherishes their happiness in the same way that we're cherishing their freedom from suffering. Then we generate this exceptional resolve from that. So the exercise of Tonglen is to make you very courageous in wanting to remove suffering and wanting to place beings in happiness. But we still have to generate this resolve that I myself alone will do this, if need be. I mean, you won't be alone because there are countless Buddhas out there helping you. But the reality is that we have to have a mind that thinks, I would do this myself alone if need be. That exceptional resolve, the 10th step, then leads to the cultivation of bodhicitta, the 11th step. So this 11-step way of going through the stages of developing bodhicitta can be quite effective because it brings both of them in together and makes it into a very powerful practice. Because they both have very strong points. As I said, they have kind of different ways of approaching generating bodhicitta. Each of them is equally effective on their own, but together they can be quite powerful. So it is in Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand. They are spelled out again, so if you didn't get all of that, you can get that from that meditation. I'm not sure if it's in the Lam Rim outlines or not. So any questions on that? How we go about generating bodhicitta in that way? Yeah, actually, they've got a different presentation in here. I think it's very similar to the presentation that was done in the Wish Fulfilling Golden Sun, which some of you have been reading. That's part of the required reading for discovering Buddhism. So just know that there's different presentations where they put this together, but if you go back to Pabongka Rinpoche's text, The Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, you'll find everything laid out pretty clearly there. So that was verse 7, where we were talking about generating this mind of bodhicitta on the basis of seeing that all sentient beings are exactly like us. They're all drowning in the sea of samsara. And we want to generate that wish, that responsibility, you know, take the responsibility to free all sentient beings from their suffering. So this is the entryway to the Mahayana, to the great scope. But this isn't where it stops. You actually have many, many practices that come after this. Generating bodhicitta is something that gets you sort of in the door, and you continually work on enhancing your bodhicitta. But the main thing is to engage in what we call the bodhisattva deeds. So the next verse, this is our 8th verse in this, even though they aren't numbered, is on page 140, and it's the 4th verse down from the top. So let's read that together.